Welcome to 5.0, Fivefold and Beyond with Matt
and Amy.
In the 5.0 podcast, we're going to peel back the layers of the Ephesians 4 model, revealing a thriving church, ministry, or organization. This will help leaders to identify, work together, and implement or raise up the believers who want to move in their calling. Watch those who are in your care, and they become alive with a fresh passion as the anointings on their life are revealed, encouraged, and released.
We also offer seminars, conferences, and strategic advising to pastors and leaders. We'll sit down with you and help you to learn how to have a fivefold influence to church or organization. Also, how to identify and integrate people with fivefold giftings into your teams and into your organization. So connect with us at ihimtv.com. That's ihimtv.com.
So get ready to engage as these podcasts will open an understanding, remove confusion of the fivefold, and open your eyes and heart to what you and those around you carry. In this podcast, we're going to look at the evangelistic culture. That's what we're going to call it. There is a culture, just like in one of our previous podcasts on the pastoral culture. We're going to talk about the evangelistic culture. So I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12 for our context, and then we will go from there today. Thank you for joining us. And he gave some apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to do the building up of the body of Christ. Notice that evangelists are mentioned in here as ministering to the saints. So that's governmental. And we're going to talk about today in the culture of governmental and ministerial things throughout the next three or four episodes for evangelists. Hi, Amy.
Hi. And so when we talk culture, when we say that, what we're talking about is really defining what elements would be present, what attitudes or feelings or actions would be pleasant when we're looking at, or when the evangelist or the evangelistic realm is present and operational in a body or an organization. That's what we're looking at.
Yeah, that's good.
I want to read another verse. Let's look at Isaiah 52:7. And it says, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns.
Ooh. I think if we've been in Christendom for any length of period of time, we would know that verse about the feet bringing good news,
right? We used to sing a song about it, Our God Reigns. It was a great song back in the day. The reason I read that, I know, I like new songs, but there's some great old ones too. The reason I read that is because I want to look at the definition of evangelist,
right,
and what that means. And based from the Strong's, it means a bringer of good news. And it's from the root to announce good news. So when we read that verse, it's really speaking of that evangelistic realm.
Right. If we go even farther of some of the definitions of evangelists, it also speaks about preacher, just simply means preacher, one who preaches or speaks a message, which is the good news. And it means to stir up. So when someone with a gift of evangelism or is actually an evangelist, either one, usually what happens as results is people are, they get all stirred up and on fire and their faith is built. And we're going to keep breaking that all up. And I'm excited about getting into the evangelistic. So why are we mentioning this is because some of you out there might have some of these traits, some of these things, some of the draws maybe, and maybe you're either misunderstood or misapplied. And hopefully that's why we're doing this whole podcast 5.0, fivefold and beyond, is to bring clarification and understanding to the body of Christ not only on their individual parts, but how each one will work together. And we're also going to talk about that sometime in the future. So that's awesome. So right now we're in the identifying stage of evangelist or evangelistic realm. What's in that realm in the kingdom? If you walked in that city, what are you going to find? What smells, you know, what sounds? And that's what we're going to be speaking about. So what are some dominant traits then, Amy?
Well, the first one I want to look at is really having people having a passion. When the evangelistic is present, you've got some excited people. If it's truly active and imparting into people, people are stirred up about what God is doing, about what God is saying. There's that culture of revival, really. A lot of revivalists are strong evangelists. Not always. They might have other partnering gifts as well, but you see that element because really, it comes into a place that this evangelistic gift and call comes into a place and begins to revive people who were dead, to revive those who just were apathetic or lethargic in their faith.
Yeah. Another one that we're probably quite familiar with is frequent salvations are happening around you. There's the Great Commission is the driving force, or they're motivated by that, or that church, or that organization, or that person. That's a very strong heartthrob going on inside of them.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of times we tend to reduce the evangelistic to that one point.
Right.
Although it's a big point.
If you ask most people and you say, what's an evangelist? They're going to tell you a guy or a woman goes out on the streets and preaches the gospel or does a crusade and, you know, thousands of people get saved or, you know, and that's it. They can't go beyond that. They can't explain more. And there is more. There is a lot more. And that's why you are crying out to grow and to explore your gifts, but you don't know how or where to go. And so you accept only what is there or other people's understanding, and you're operating with it, but you know you've got more. You know you're made up of more. And so we want to help unwrap that today.
And another point that I want to really look at, if you have the evangelistic operating, you will see people who are very community minded. They're not just into themselves in the four walls to make their church experience better. They are outward thinking, outward looking. They look to their community. They want to reach out and touch their community, be a blessing to their community. Obviously, too, with the desire to see their community saved, to see them come into the kingdom of God. And not just their community, but you'll see that churches who have the evangelistic strong are very missions minded. So they even look out further than just their community,
right?
But they have a desire to sow into missions.
Right.
It's a go into all
touch
the world thing.
People groups or certain areas of the city or other nations or, yeah.
And that's so important. I love when churches have that dual outlook to their community, but also to the world. Mm-hmm. And as we give out, God pours in. So it's a beautiful thing when you see that happening. And this is really sparked by that evangelistic realm.
Right. So that's part of the evangelistic culture that we're talking about, all these points that we're bringing up. Another dominant trait that you're going to find present in an evangelistic culture is the gospel comes to two crowds, to the sleepy and to the unsaved, right? And it comes by fire, typically. It's there's something there, and the anointing of the Holy Ghost is very strong and just begins to bring miracles and signs and wonders and healings and all these things accompany it, because it ushers for a forward movement from where you've been to where you need to go. So the evangelistic does that.
Yeah. So let's not just say the world needs evangelists to go out there and get them saved. Let's look also and say some churches out there need an evangelist to come in.
Sure.
Wake them
up. Sure they do. Yes.
To stir them, to release the fire of God.
Right. Because within themselves are not providing that, or there's nobody present there. And so that's that wonderful flavor of having others integrated and coming in. If you're, you know, want to be a fivefold influenced church, that means you don't have them among you, but you have contact. They come in among you and minister to you and bring that anointing to the house. And that would be an evangelist, and that would be a governmental evangelist. And he or she would come in and begin to release her or his mantle on the house, and it will begin to what? Back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. So the evangelist, that's governmental, their ministry is to stir and equip the church to go out and do what they need to do. And so, and in that case, the church might get all gung-ho and go do a community effort, or they might be released in other areas and things that has been stymied or stopped up. The evangelist seems to be able to pull the plug, whoosh, and things get drained and it gets refilled.
Refilling is so important.
Yeah, yeah.
As pastors or leaders of an apostolic center for over 20 years now, we've always viewed and operated evangelism with that dual purpose. Number one, to reach the lost, because we know that without people coming into the kingdom of God, we become stagnant. Yep. There has to be reproduction to be a growing body. And I don't just mean in numbers, but even even in, you know, individual growth, to be able to reach out, there's something that brings that growth. So it's definitely to reach the lost, but also to bring an awareness to believers of the world and the people around them. Because let's face it, in life today, people can get so self-centered. Christians can get so self-centered.
Self-absorbed.
Yes. And we need...
Us for no more.
Mm-hmm. We need experiences that are going to get us out. Like, for example, I just want to share one experience and thing that we've done. And I've kind of always led the charge in this, is taking missions trips. Now, I know missions trips to the nations is wonderful, but not always can the people in your congregation get time off to go to another nation. Hey, let's do that. Let's offer that. But sometimes you just need some shorter term things, like a weekend. And so I would plan these weekend mission trips to New York City, because in New York City,
what ministry was that that we connected with?
That was through New York School of Urban Ministry.
A lot of churches and ministries connect.
Ministry there. It's NYSUM, yep, for sure. NYSUM.
So if you're a leader and a pastor or a missions leader, you want to get a hold of NYSUM, NYSUM in New York City. All kinds of denominations, churches, ministries, hook with them. To set up, that's what they specialize in for Manhattan, the whole city, actually.
Yeah, they're a hub that connects with other ministries. Mm-hmm. And so you connect with them, you've got a place to stay, and the price is reasonable.
What an awesome experience.
Reasonable enough that teenagers can save up some of their money and go. And then they send you out, they hook you up with different ministries around the city, help, you know, you can get their assistance to provide transportation and whatnot. It's an amazing experience, because here's what I've seen happen over the years. Okay. I've taken several teams. Mm-hmm. Some were older people. I took people who had never left our small town and seen a big city like New York.
Yep.
But also I've taken teenagers. And I tell you, what an awakening for people. I remember, I always do on the last night, we stay an extra evening, because what I like to do is debrief with the team before they get back to their life
and
the daily grind.
Yep.
I want them to be able to process the experience. And I remember, mm-hmm, sitting around, I think there was a group of 20 of us that time. It was one of my larger groups.
Yeah.
I don't like to take too many more, because you got to get those people all on and off the subway. And that can be harrowing. But
yeah.
Anyway, I remember sitting around with a group of 20, and we had probably four or five teenagers in that group, 15, 16 years old, and just weeping as they begin to share what God did in their lives and how he changed their focus. I mean, teenagers are just naturally self-absorbed. They've got a lot going on in their lives and just trying to survive high school and puberty, the end of puberty and all that kind of stuff. But I tell you, these teenagers were just weeping. And as they begin to just share what God did, the Holy Spirit just fell in that place.
That's right.
And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Just amazing things happened because they took some time, they invested some money, and they had an opportunity to see beyond themselves. And that's an evangelistic endeavor right there. The lives we touched was amazing, but the change in us was really powerful as well.
Right, because that transformation became permanent, and it changed the way you walked and thought and lived from that moment on. So when you give, that's what the Bible says, when you give, you shall receive. So you gave of yourself in this way. Yeah, we're fulfilling the commission. We want to touch lives, the gospel and the kingdom of God, see them, you know, they come to Jesus, or their faith is reinforced, they're built up, you know, depends. We met people that were already saved. And so we had all that. But yeah, as the instruments of the Lord and the vessels used by God, something happens that just click. And that was that. Changed everything. It changes your path, and you begin to live more with hope and faith. And that's what it's found in the evangelistic culture, is there's usually a high element of faith there. And so when faith dies, see, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, we can't attain anything. We can't see God demonstrate himself and move, because we don't have the faith for that. And so that evangelistic culture usually creates a way to feed the faith. It's like putting, for us up north, in the wintertime, we have wood stoves, those of us who do, and you have to put wood into the fire to keep the heat going. So you're feeding the furnace. It's wonderful to have a furnace or stove or fireplace, but without the thing to feed it, it doesn't take off. It doesn't provide the warmth that's supposed to. And faith is those logs. And you got an evangelistic culture, you'll often find around that also the language of faith. So, because faith isn't way out, we're all to have it, but there seems to be a stronger emphasis on it, because you know what? There are times everything looks impossible and you need faith. And those of you that have ever been on the mission field in an area you're not used to, or in another country, another nation, you know what it's like. We've been there. We know that, man, there is spiritual warfare. There's things going on. There's even in the midst of everything, faith. You just have to believe and move in faith and watch as God opens doors. And see, it's a grace that comes on you in the evangelistic culture. And all these cultures that we're talking about, or the environments where you're going to find these fivefold influences flowing, there's going to have to be a heightened anointing there. There's going to be a certain grace that's really dominant compared to the rest, because it needs to be the lead horse at that moment. And God is able to accomplish what he's able to accomplish.
Another key element too, I think, that you see in this culture is boldness. And we know that boldness comes when the Holy Spirit is poured out.
Ooh.
And when you operate in the Spirit, boldness just comes in this type of environment. Mm-hmm. We all know, mm-hmm. we've tried to minister to our family and who are unsaved, and to our neighbor and our community. And man, it's hard. And fear really fights in our mind to try to hold us back.
Oh,
but the Holy
true.
Spirit ignites boldness. And you'll find that through the ministry of the evangelistic realm, that it just touches the Holy Spirit in you and starts to release that boldness to be able to go, right?
Right. Wow. That's a good one. Hey, let's give them some takeaways, some call to actions for this podcast. Like, what do you mean? Because this is just the introduction to the evangelistic, and we'll catch you on the next podcast.
Oh, yeah, we're going to delve a lot deeper here.
We're going to be heading into the next podcast there and hope to meet you there. But number one, if you need a personal stirring up within yourself today, you need a fire infusion. I would suggest one way, besides talking to the Lord yourself and do that, and that's great, is to seek out an evangelistic ministry or someone who carries an evangelistic call, or even evangelist if you're able to. They have that mantle. But definitely those with that gifting or whatever, or get involved in a community or local evangelistic ministry outreach to their community. It might be multi-church, who knows, but you need get involved with that, because when you're in a like-minded group, it feeds that within yourself, and your flame within that you think is dim today will get inflamed, and it will get higher and higher and higher, and you'll just get a stirring up happening.
And number two, if you've really related to some of the stuff we've started talking about today, well, definitely listen to the next few weeks' podcast. But what we want to encourage you to do is really connect with an evangelistic ministry or an evangelist that you know that you've built a relationship with, or reach out and build a relationship with these so that you can begin to grow and develop in this area.
Or pastor, if your church is getting a little low morale and low, you're preaching good, you're doing all kinds of things, but nobody seems to be moving. Nobody seems to be responding the way that you thought the Lord showed you, I would suggest that you get a hold of an evangelist and bring them through and just hold a weekend, just a Saturday and Sunday or whatever it is going to work for you, and introduce that fivefold influence into your church and things will change. If you don't know anybody like that and you're in Canada or the U.S., reach out to Amy and I, again, at ihimtv.com, and we'll be able to connect you with some balanced, mature evangelists, powerful, they're graced, they're not wacky, and they move strongly in the Holy Spirit, and it will just release and open up prophetic realms, all kinds of things in your people, in your church, and you. And you will be blessed as well.
Thank you for joining us today. Be blessed.